After what many considered the greatest pro wrestling show, Wrestle Kingdom 11, many first-time New Japan watchers are now more interested in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm going to take a look back at a time that many people felt as the not-so-great times of New Japan Pro Wrestling, specifically from the years 2001 to 2006. But first, I gotta set the background of what was going on in Japan in general during the early 2000s. It was the craze of MMA. Mixed martial arts was taking Japan by storm, as Pride and K1 were at their peak popularity-wise. They were huge, just overtook pro wrestling in general, as wrestling took a backseat as a whole. During this time period, Pride and K1 held the largest live MMA event at 91,000 people at Shockwave/Dynamite. In August 2002, Pride, just by themselves, held an event called Final Conflict in 2003. Antonio Inoki, the founder of New Japan Pro Wrestling, was no stranger to MMA, having faced Muhammad Ali on June 26, 1976, in the infamous boxer versus wrestler MMA fight, which spawned ideas of his own to have his own contract and New Japan guys take on some of the finest MMA fighters. Started off back in 2001, when Antonio Inoki decides that Yuji Nagata should headline his Inoki Bumbaye MMA show against Mirko Krokop. Yuji Nagata at the time was the IWGP champion, while Mirko was in his prime of his career over in Pride, absolutely destroying anybody that got in his way. As a result, destroyed Nagata in 21 seconds. But this was just the beginning, however. In 2002, we see at the first January 4th Tokyo Dome show, Antonio Inoki decides to have Jun Nakayama against Yuji Nagata, a Noah star versus a New Japan star in the main event of New Japan's biggest show. However, Jun Nakayama retains his GHC heavyweight title as a Noah guy goes over in the main event of New Japan's biggest show. In hindsight, really doesn't make much sense. Rumors spread that Nagata was supposed to win the tournament, but was as later on in the year, All Japan Pro Wrestling offers Kaiji Muto to be their new president. Muto takes it and also takes Kendo Kashin and Satoshi Kojima, as by the end of 2002, that now made two out of the three original three Musketeers in Kaiji Muto and Hashimoto gone from New Japan. New Japan Pro Wrestling now has to figure out a way to create new stars for the company. Some of the guys, like Yuji Nagata, Nakanishi, and Tenzan, look to be prime for that position. Instead, Inoki goes head first in with the wrestling versus MMA storyline. New Japan Pro Wrestling brings in MMA names such as Yoshihiro Takayama, a guy who had previous experience in pro wrestling at All Japan Pro Wrestling from 97 to 2000, but was more well known now for his fights in Pride and his infamous fight against Don Fry. At the October 2002 Tokyo Dome show, New Japan brought in such names such as Bob Sapp, Kaz Fujita, Boss Rutten, and even China, of all people, to headline their show. Inoki also starts to push Tadaru Yasuda, who did some MMA, but was more known as a sumo wrestler, who also got in trouble for gambling debts. As we turn to 2003, the January 4th Tokyo Dome show headlines with Nagata facing off against Josh Barnett, a gaijin who doesn't have much wrestling experience at this point, and it's just an MMA name. Luckily for Nagata's sake and the fans of New Japan, Nagata retains the IWGP title, as this was also the first January 4th Tokyo Dome show for Shinsuke Nakamura, who was now one-third of the new Three Musketeers alongside Hiroshi Tanahashi and Katsuyori Shibata. Deemed the super rookie by New Japan officials, Nakamura drew high praise from his MMA style and it got him a lot of opportunities at a very young age. As we see later on in the year, on December 9th, 2003, Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Hiroshi Tenzan for the IWGP Heavyweight title, thus becoming the youngest wrestler in the history of the company to win the title at just 23 years old. Nakamura, who made his pro wrestling debut just over a year earlier, on August 29th, 2002. Some say Inoki's new golden boy, Nakamura, was given the spotlight way too quickly for someone with just a little over a year of experience. Many fans at the time felt that Hiroshi Tenzan was the most over babyface in the company and should have had a more prominent role and a better title run. Some fans even joked about the booking philosophy, calling it Tenzan Must Suffer. As we look at his win-loss ratios from the years 2000 to 2005, we see that he started off strong with 85 wins and a 65.9% win-loss ratio in the year 2000. However, the following 2 years, he would hover just around 50% win-loss ratio. When compared to his recent years, he had never had a win-loss ratio below 60%. Going into 2004, the January 4th Tokyo Dome featured a champion versus champion main event where Shinsuke Nakamura faced off against Yoshihiro Takayama. Nakamura was the IWGP champion at the time, and Yoshihiro Takayama was the NWF heavyweight champion. Nakamura defeated Yoshihiro Takayama, and thus the NWF title was unified with the IWGP title. This was also on the show, featured Hiroshi Tanahashi as the IWGP Under 30 champion, as well as the third musketeer, Katsuo Shibata, who lost in a tag match, however. It seemed like the golden boy of New Japan was going to become the ace of New Japan, but then all of a sudden Nakamura vacated the belt in February due to injury. Tenzan beat Jinoki Tenryu in the finals of a tournament that same month. However, rumors spread that Nagata was supposed to win the tournament but was legitimately knocked out from Tenzan's moonsault in their semifinal matchup. Tenzan later loses to Kensuke Sasaki in the next month in March. And a mere 12 days later, Bob Sapp vs. Kensei Sasaki happens at King of Sport. And Bob Sapp is the new IWGP champion, defeating Kensuke Sasaki. Now, Bob Sapp was beyond over in Japan, but as far as wrestling talent is concerned, he was not very good. And in one of the weirdest ways ever of changing a title ever, New Japan strips Bob Sapp of the title after he loses a K-1 shoot fight against Kazuki G. Fujita. And Fujita defeats Hiroshi Tanahashi to win the vacated belt. But New Japan could have just had asked K-1 to have Fujita versus Bob Sapp be for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Or even have Inoki give him the belt. He's right there, just hand, shaking Fujita's hand. He could have just whipped out the belt and said, "Here, you won." All in all, some people say Bob Sapp's fight performance cost him the IWGP title, and that's why New Japan stripped him of the belt. Fujita later drops the belt back to Sasaki by accidentally pinning himself, kicking out Sasuke with a sleeper hold, and his shoulders were on the mat. As this just soured fans of New Japan more and turned a lot of them off to the product, Tenzan would later beat Kensuke Sasaki on December 12, 2004, rounding out the year with 7 different IWGP champions in a single year. Now, let's just put this in perspective. Here is the list of all the champions from 2004. As you can see, there have been 7, as Nakamura started off the year in 2004. He vacated it. Then we have Tenzan, Kensuke Sasaki, Bob Sapp, vacated, which that really doesn't matter, and then Fujita, back to Sasaki, and then back to Tenzan. So in that one stretch, we had 7 different champions. Let's just now look at the past 7 champions from this year, from 20, 16 onward. So, all right, so Okada won the belt on April 7th. And then he lost it to AJ. And AJ lost it to Tanahashi. Then AJ got it back from Tanahashi. And Okada beat AJ Styles. Naito then beat Okada. And then Okada beat Naito. Now, you can see here that there are seven different champions. And that was from a stretch from 2013 to 2016. Almost four whole years and seven different champions compared to just seven different champions in 1 year. Definitely a giant clusterfuck, to say the least. 2005 comes around, and we see New Japan focus back to their young new faces as Shinsuke Nakamura faced off against Hiroshi Tanahashi in the main event of the January 4th show. Now, by no means was having these two in the main event of their biggest show of the year was a bad idea and was bad for business. It was a bad match because, no, all those were great. It was great to see two young guns go at it. It was great as far as, like, the history of Nakamura versus Tanahashi to see their very first matchup, one-on-one match, be the main event of a January 4th Tokyo Dome show. That's insane. The reason why this January 4th show was so bad was because they did an Ultimate Battle Royal where Ron Waterman, a former MMA fighter and a former developmental contracted worker with the WWE, would then, later on, win a MMA-style tournament where it was a worked shoot tournament. I mean, I'm just going to post the bracket. Just look at this bracket. I mean, unbelievable. Just a weird, terrible idea in general. Then we go to the co-main event in a dog fight rules matchup where Masahiro Chono faced off against not one, but two people. As first, he took on Riki Choshu. And then, after he defeated Riki Choshu, he faced Hiroshi Tenzan in what was basically a gauntlet-like matchup. Chono won both matches. Now, by this time, it's 2005. Masahiro Chono has been wrestling for New Japan for almost 20 years at this point. And his body was starting to wind down significantly. I mean, this was almost 13 years prior to him receiving a broken neck, thanks to a botched tombstone from one Steve Austin. Now, it was later on in the year, it looks like New Japan might be on the right track. I mean, they're focusing back on their promising young stars. As also following the Tokyo Dome show, they formed Tanahashi and Nakamura as a tag team. They even went on to become the IWGP Tag Team Champions. But Brock Lesnar in New Japan happens. Now, on Brock's debut, October 8th, 2005, he won the IWGP Heavyweight title in his debut matchup. I mean, how insane is that? In a three-way against Kaz Fujita and Masahiro Chono. Lesnar's F5 at the time had to be renamed The Verdict, as Lesnar stated that this name was referring to his lawsuit against WWE, who had filed a motion for temporary restraining order to prevent Lesnar from working with New Japan on December 6th, but court did not grant it. Following that, he had two non-title victories against Nakanishi and Yuji Nagata. Now, while this fiasco was going on, we see some pretty big changes in New Japan as a whole, as the video game company known as Yuke's purchased Inoki's controlling 51.5% stock in New Japan, making them the new majority owner, and they were the majority owners until 2012. Many of you probably know Yuke's from their development from their WWE games over the past 16 years now. They started way back with WWF SmackDown, and they still were part of the developmental process of WWE 2K17. Now, most of you are probably like, well, I like current day Brock Lesnar that you probably see in the WWE now. But trust me, there is nothing worse than an unmotivated Brock Lesnar who is just going through the motions as the IWGP champion. And then starting off 2006, Brock Lesnar faced Shinsuke Nakamura in the main event of the January 4th Tokyo Dome show. Now let's just break this down real quick. You have a guy who won the IWGP title on his debut just a mere 4 months ago. And he's going off against a guy in Shinsuke Nakamura who has main evented your two previous January 4th Tokyo Dome shows, your biggest shows of the year. Now, what are you going to do, New Japan? What do you think is the right idea? Do you have the guy who's battling legal issues with the WWE? Or do you have Nakamura solidify himself as the ace of the future and beat this rising Gaijin beast of a man in Brock Lesnar to make it official that the era of Nakamura is now? Right? No. Brock Lesnar retains and beats Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, on January 13th, WWE once again files an injunction against Brock Lesnar to try and stop him from defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, which is also not enforced as he went on to retain his championship against former sumo wrestling grand champion Aki Bono on March 19th. And then Lesnar again, a couple months later, has a successful title defense against Giant Bernard on May 3rd, 2006. Now, this was the first time an American versus American title match in New Japan happened since Vader versus Stan Hansen in 1990. And on July 25th, 2006, New Japan Pro Wrestling announces Lesnar would not return to defend the IWGP Heavyweight Championship due to visa issues and has been stripped of the title. A tournament was then held the next day to determine the new champion, which was won by Hiroshi Tanahashi. Now, Lesnar would continue to possess the actual physical championship belt until late 2007. Unbelievable. What a big, giant waste to have Brock Lesnar just beat everybody. And not solidify someone like a Shinsuke Nakamura or Hiroshi Tanahashi or even make a big star out of someone. During these times, New Japan Pro Wrestling was definitely not the top dog as far as Japanese-based wrestling promotions go. As pro wrestling Noah's combination of great big-name stars from the previous decades and its owner, Misahiro Misawa, and guys like Kenta Kobashi, Tokuyoshi Kawada, Jun Akiyama, and its also fast-rising stars in Kenta, Takeshi Morishima, Mar Fuji, and Taiji Ishimori, pro wrestling Noah's far superior product showcased as we saw some of the best matches during this decade, under the Noah banner. During this time, we also saw the G1 Climax become, quite honestly, pretty shitty and repetitive. As back then, the G1 Climax, the winner didn't go on to Wrestle Kingdom or the January 4th Tokyo Dome show in the main event to face the IWGP champion. Instead, it was kind of loosely how it was how they got their championship title shot. Some cases it was the December Tokyo Dome show. In other cases it was different cases. But from the span of 2002 to 2006, only two different people won them. And Masahiro Chono and Hiroshi Tenzan. Now, fans were asking themselves, how many G1s does Tenzan and Chono have to win? It was just unbelievable. There's nothing more irritating than seeing constant, predictable booking of a G1. Now, after watching this video, you might have seen why New Japan Pro Wrestling won worst promotion in the years 2004 and 2005 in the Wrestling Observer Awards. Thankfully, though, with Ghetto getting the booking job in the early 2000s and the young core roster we saw in the mid-2000s rising to season phenomenal wrestlers, it was no surprise, really, they got out of their ways and became the best.